Hey friends, I'm so proud of you for doing the New Testament in 26 with me. Today's the 3rd of July, and we're going to be finding ourselves in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And while I've got you here, happy Independence Day to you.
Paul starts out by calling out sexual sin. And just to let you know, the book of 1 Corinthians talks, I don't want to say in length, but several times about intimacy and sexual things. So parents, just take heed in how you handle that with your kids as you do new and 22 with them. If you do that as a family, you might want to pre-listen. So he calls out sexual sin here, and in this case, a case of incest that he's heard about in the church. And there's an implication here if you have a study Bible or a concordance or a Bible commentary or handbook. This is implying a man who's having inappropriate relationships with his stepmother. But then in verse 11, he instructs the Corinthians not to associate with the sexually immoral, but even not associate with greedy people, idolaters, drunks, or cheats. And he's talking about people within the church. He ends on an interesting note. He talks about, in his words, judging the other believers. And I know we talked about judgment yesterday and judging others, and we can get so caught up in the vernacular of what does it mean to judge. And he makes a point here that it's important for Christians to judge other believers in holding them accountable. But he makes it clear that we are not to do that to those who are not followers of Christ. So this gets pretty sketchy and pretty interesting in our world today, because in our world and Christian circles, we can throw this word accountability out, but very rarely is accountability effective. In that many people, they don't receive being held accountable. They don't ask for being held accountable. They never gave anybody permission to hold them accountable. And oftentimes in accountability, people will say, hold me accountable to this. And so they put the responsibility on the one that they want to hold them accountable. The other end of that would be them going to the person they have asked to be accountable to and confessing when they slip, when they fall. But usually they have the scapegoat because they just hope that the person holding them accountable won't ask them about it, or they can dodge the question. So Paul had obviously seen how sinful behavior amongst Christians had hurt the fellowship of the church. And I want to read a couple verses here, verses 6 to 8. He says, your boasting is not good. He talks about being humble a lot. He says, don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, for those of you who aren't super familiar with your Bible, this, and especially if you've never read the Old Testament, in specific Exodus, then this is very foreign to you. So what Paul is saying here is he's referring back to the book of Exodus, chapter 12 in the Old Testament, before God's people left slavery in Egypt, before Moses' people were delivered out of slavery in Egypt. Moses gave Jews instructions that God had given him to pass along, to kill a perfect lamb and to spread the blood of the lamb on doorposts. And then an angel of the Lord would pass over the houses of these Jews while the Egyptians would be killed. Now, they were also in this set of instructions to prepare a meal by using bread that had no leaven in it, or no yeast in it. What does the yeast do. The yeast is what makes it rise. So this would be kind of a flat bread. And these instructions from God that were given to Moses, God makes clear in Exodus 12 that this is going to become part of a Jewish holiday or a Jewish festival. Now, this is a festival that is still practiced in Judaism today called the Passover Festival, or the Passover Feast that happens during the Passover Festival. So if we go back here and read this again, maybe it'll make a little more sense. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. You see, he's talking about a deal that God made with his people. For Christ, our Passover lamb, so just as the people would kill an unblemished lamb, that's symbolic of Jesus who would come later, and he's the perfect, sinless, spotless lamb that was killed for us. It says, therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity in truth. So in the New Testament, whenever you see the word yeast, it's usually referring to something that's symbolic of sin. And it's saying if you allow a little bit of sin in, a little bit of yeast into the dough, it's going to affect the entire batch. So let me ask you this as we close today. Is there some yeast in your dough that you need to deal with? Is there an aspect of your life, maybe a hidden sin, a closet sin, a sin that you wouldn't want anybody to know about, or that you're embarrassed of, or that you know that you need to take care of, but you've just justified it or put it off? What is that yeast? Jesus died on the cross so that we could be this unleavened bread that doesn't have sin mixed in it. None of us will be perfect. We will always be sinners. But our goal is to remove that yeast out of the batch of our lives.